Wait a minute.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Malachi Munro live in Nassau, Bahamas, and today I'm going to be hosting your Blog Talk Radio show with the International Mastermind Association. Today's topic is your personal vision board, manifesting your goals and dreams, with Michael Baptiste and Stefan Sanders. Michael, Stefan, are you there? Hello?
Good morning. This is Ann McNeil supporting Michael Baptiste, Stefan Mason, and Malachi Munro. You are listening to the International Mastermind Association, and we are the voice of masterminding. We mastermind 10 different areas of our life, spiritually, financially, family-wise, health-wise, educationally, personally, business or career, recreation, civic, and creativity. We also mastermind our lives for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and some are masterminding for what they will do when they are 92. We thank all of you for coming on the radio and listening to our youth blog talk today, and we welcome all of your questions. And if you do have a question, just press 1 on your telephone. We will be talking today from the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, Chapter 2 on Faith. And now I will turn it back over to our co-host, Malachi Munro from Nassau, Bahamas. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McMahon. So as you were saying before, we are really big on masterminding, and over the years we've learned that masterminding helps people in their lives. It makes your life more organized. It helps you to do things better because you know what you're going to do and you know what date you're going to have it set by. Last week our show was on setting goals also and how much money you want to make and when do you want to have it by. And so we've had a couple people come on and tell us about that. Ms. McNeil, would you like to start off with the chapter of faith, please?
But just want to check and find out if Stefan or Mr. Baptiste have joined us yet.
Yes, ma'am. This is Michael Baptiste. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Michael. How are you doing?
Very good. How about yourself?
I'm great, and you?
Wonderful. Thank you very much. It is an absolute honor to be on the call with you this morning. And all of the lovely visitors, it's wonderful to be on the call with you this morning. We have a great talk show coming up on Chapter 2, Faith, and I'm very excited to get right into all the information.
That's great. I'm excited as well. Is Stefan on this morning?
I received a text message from Stefan. He said he had a few technical issues with his computer in logging onto the Internet, so he may be taking a bit longer to get on the Internet and on the call right now.
Okay. Would you like to go ahead and start the faith reading, please?
The faith reading? Okay. Let me just turn my book to faith. Now, would you like for me to start with on the chapter of faith?
Yes, chapter 3, faith.
Okay, so we'll dive right into the beginning of chapter 2 on faith. Now, faith is the head chemist of the mind. When faith is blended with a vibration of thought, which the conscious mind instantly picks up the vibration, translates it into a spiritual equivalent, and transmits it to the infinite intelligence, as in the case of prayer. Now, the emotions of faith, love, and sex are the most powerful of all the major positive emotions. When the three are blended, they have an effect of coloring the vibration of thought in such a way that it instantly reaches the conscious mind, where it is changed into its spiritual equivalent, the only form that induces a response from infinite intelligence. Now, love and faith are psychic, you know, related to the spiritual side of humanity. Sex is purely biological and related only to the physical. The mixing or blending of these three emotions has the effect of opening a direct line of communication between the finite, thinking human mind and the infinite intelligence. Now, I'll press on just a little bit more. How to develop faith. There comes now a statement which will give a better understanding of the importance, the principle of our suggestion, assumed in the transmutation of desire into a physical or monetary equivalent. Faith is a state of mind which may be induced or created by affirmations or repeated instructions to the subconscious mind through the principle of autosuggestion. All right? Now, as an illustration, consider one main purpose for which presumably you are reading this book. The object is, naturally, to acquire the ability to transmute the intangible thought impulse of desire into its physical counterpart, money. By following the instructions laid down in the chapter on autosuggestion, and the subconscious mind, as summarized in the chapter on auto-suggestion, you can convince your subconscious mind that you believe you will receive that for which you ask. Your subconscious mind will act upon that belief, then pass it back to you in the form of faith, followed by definite plans for procuring that which you desire. Now, the method by which one develops faith, where it does not already exist, is extremely difficult to describe. Almost as difficult, in fact, as it would be to describe the color of red to a person who's blind, who has never seen the color and has nothing with which to compare it to what you describe. Faith is a state of mind that you can develop at will after you have mastered the 13 principles in this book. Because it is a state of mind which develops through voluntary application and use of these principles. Now, repetition or affirmations of orders to your subconscious mind is the only method of voluntary development of the emotion of faith. And perhaps the meaning will be made clearer through the following explanation of how individuals sometimes become criminals. Stated in the words of the famous criminologist, when people first come into contact with crime, they harbor it. If they remain in contact with crime for a time, they become accustomed to it and endure it. If they remain in contact with it long enough, they finally embrace it and they become influenced by it. Wow. This is the equivalent of saying that any impulsive thought, which is repeatedly passed on to the subconscious mind, is finally accepted and acted upon by the subconscious mind, which proceeds to translate that impulse into its physical equivalent by the most practical procedure available.
That's
right. So that was just the beginning of the chapter 2 on faith. So as you can see, you know, faith, you know, to me, when I hear the word faith, faith is basically holding a very strong belief, you know, that about that which is in your mind, that you can achieve it, that it's accomplishable, and you know.
Thank you. Now, doing my research for this upcoming call, I ran across a few stories about vision boards, and this is one that I would like to share. It's early one morning, and I walk out to my deck to see what spring brought into the world last night. I live in the woods on a river, so there's always something to me. I came face to face with a bear 2 nights ago. I live in a house I sometimes can't believe I live in. I say it was the house of my dreams, but it came along so unexpectedly that I never had really had a chance to actually dream about it. My last post had a brief mention of vision boards, so I thought I'd share my own experience of vision boards in my house. At the time I did my first vision board, I owned a bungalow in an up-and-coming neighborhood in downtown Asheville. I've since decided that up-and-coming is realtor speak for personally, I'd never live here, but you could look if you can handle it. Love the house itself, but over time, my then-boyfriend, now husband, and I were getting increasingly tired of the energy and anger of violence. I've already written some about the power of setting intent. When I talk about living consciously, it will really have the excitable, go out there and get yours vibe that a lot of the more success-driven types would preach. That's because my life and success have been more of unfolding and allowing than a getting because I set a vision board. Some of the best things that have happened, and especially because I deeply knew the what and I didn't push the how. In this case, I knew the what. It's longer okay for me to live among such anger, and I want to live in a peaceful space That's why I set a vision board. It guides me and it gives me a good understanding of what I want in life. And so now I actually know the what and I know how I'm going to get it. It just takes time and patience. And I just wanted to share that with you all.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. All right. Now, what I'll actually do next, I will actually share with everyone while faith is a state of mind, which may be induced by auto suggestion. And this is from the book, Think and Grow Rich. This is on page 88. And we definitely advise all of our guests to visit our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/internationalmasterminders. Okay. Now, faith is a state of mind which may be induced by autosuggestion. All down the ages, the religionists have admonished struggling humanity to have faith in this, that, and the other dogma or creed, but they have failed to tell people how to have faith. They have not stated that faith is a state of mind that may be induced by self-suggestion. In language, which any normal human being can understand, this book will describe all that is known about the principle through which faith can be developed and where it does not already exist. Have faith in yourself. Faith in the infinite. Before we begin, we should be reminded again that faith is the external elixir which gives life, power, and action to the impulse of thought. Now, the foregoing sentence is worth reading a second time, and the third time, and the fourth time. It's worth reading aloud. We'll go over one more time. Faith is the external elixir which gives life, power, and action to the impulse of thought. Faith is the starting point of all accumulation of riches. Faith is the basis of all miracles and all mysteries which cannot be analyzed by the rules of science. Faith is the only known antidote for failure. Faith is the element, the chemical, which when mixed with prayer gives one direct communication with the infinite intelligence. Faith is the element which transforms the ordinary vibration of thought created by the finite human mind into its spiritual equivalent. Faith is the only agency through which the cosmic force of infinite intelligence can be harnessed and used by humanity. So, as you can see, you know, faith is, there definitely are ways to induce faith and actually, you know, achieve faith in your life and in terms of the state of mind. And you know, this entire chapter on faith, just really covers all the bases of how you can develop it. Now, once again, I'd like to advise and suggest to all of our guests on the call to visit our website. It's www.internationalmasterminders.com. Now, do we have any questions on the call? Do we have any calls or questions?
Well, Michael,
or comments?
Thank you for that great reading and providing our information. I would like to ask Ms. McNeil to actually come on the call and explain to us the process of creating a vision board and how long it will take.
Good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder, building stronger and better lives. And I first would like to take the privilege and honor of thanking both of you young people for coming on the radio this morning and sharing with the listening audience the power of faith while building your dreams, utilizing a vision board. We have Malachi discussing vision boards and the faith discussion by Mr. Michael Baptiste, and when you think about a vision board, you begin to collect ideas, thoughts, just different things that you would like to do, be, or have, and you visualize those in the form of a picture if possible, and if you can cut out different pictures from magazines, the website, books, or something that you may create, or even family photos, and put them on a vision board and just believe by faith that these will become a reality. And so with that, I'd like to turn it back over to you, Michael, and turn it back over to you, Malachi, by asking both of you this question. If you can share with us, each one of you, an example of faith in your life and how the principles of the book have been demonstrated in your life.
Sure,
I would
love to go.
Okay, Malachi, Michael go first because I'd like for you to share one of the particular stories I have in mind is about your NSA faith walk. But if you can allow Michael to go first, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, Michael Baptiste, are you there? Okay, my Malachi, I guess you can go first because I'm not hearing Mr. Baptiste.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Hello. Hello.
Okay, we can hear you. We hear you now. I think you might have been on mute.
Okay, yeah. I got a little baby in the background. I didn't want him screaming. Okay, yes, an example of where I demonstrated faith, there was a time when I was in high school and I was playing high school basketball. At the time, I didn't have any offers to go to college, which I really wanted to do. But, you know, what I just said to myself is that, you know, I'll receive a scholarship. I'll get a scholarship. Somebody will come and offer me a scholarship. And throughout the entire season, I didn't get any offers, but I just kept working hard, kept practicing, you know, two times a day without the team, by myself. And eventually, you know, all of my practicing led to the last game of the season when we were in the regional semifinal game. We did not win. However, I had a great performance. And after the game, a coach from a school called Lynn University came down into the locker room. And, you know, I did not expect it. But through the principle of faith, you know, this is how I know it works. I did not expect it. He came into the locker room. He said, Michael Baptiste, we want to give you a full ride scholarship to come play basketball for Lynn University. And, you know, since then, my faith has just been, you know, 100% there. And I know that faith works. And I know that with faith, anything is possible. So that's my experience with faith. Back to you, Mrs. Neal.
No,
oh,
I think
Neal,
you mean Mr. Monroe. Mr. Monroe, you mean back to Mr. Monroe. I'm just a guest. Thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. Back to you, Mr. Monroe. Mr. Monroe, are you on the call?
Oh, sorry. I was on mute. But thanks,
okay,
Mike.
No,
that was a great story. I don't know where to start. Well, my walk of faith that Ms. McNeil was talking about with NSA is I go to mostly NSA and Black Enterprise just about every year. And so one year, my grandma pulled me aside and said, Malachi, you have to do something if you want to go to NSA this year. So I thought long and hard of what I always wanted to do, something that I want to, you know, pick off a list of things to do. So I thought long and hard, and I said, I want to write my book, because I've been planning for about 3 years to write my first book, but it never came into act. And so I think that three-month period between that date and NSA, I worked hard, I stayed up late, typing the edits of my book, and I finally wrote my book, and that's based on faith because I knew when I wanted to have my book written by, and I knew what I was going to do to have it written, and so it was written. My second story is when Ms. McNeil hosted a vision board workshop at New Birth in Miami, Florida, and so that was the day that I got off from school. I was happy. And so she allowed about maybe 150 students to create their own vision board and if they wanted to present it. So on my vision board was a house of my dreams. It was this gorgeous one-story house with a huge backyard, which was something my mom always wanted. And then on her vision board, it was pretty much the same type of house. So we created a sheet that we read to ourselves every morning before we went out for the day and every night before we retired to bed. And in about a year or so, we got that house. So it's just a matter of having faith and knowing what you want, because if you know what you want, you know what you're going to do to get it. Mr. Michael Baptiste, you want to bring it over?
Absolutely. That was great. Thank you very much for sharing that. Now, we do have a caller on the line who has a question. Her name is Sharon. Sharon, are you on the call? Hello, Sharon. Okay, I guess Sharon's not on the call. So thank you very much, Mr. Monroe, for sharing that. a very, very interesting story, and definitely shows how the principle of faith can actually bring things into reality. So, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Hello?
Thank you.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hello? This is Stephon Mason. I just want to, I'm wondering if I can also answer the question that Ms. McNeil has asked you both.
Of course.
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, to answer the question about, well, you know, when have I used faith, this situation just recently happened. I applied for, well, before I even answer my question, let me just introduce myself. My name is Stephon Mason. I'm currently a high school senior, about to graduate. I'm 17 years old, and I've been masterminding for about 2.5 years, going on 3. Now, to answer the question, I recently, you know, got to really test the strength, and like, you know, I got to really experiment with faith. A few months ago, I applied for 2 colleges because, you know, I want to go to school for the culinary arts, and I applied for both schools. But the thing with the school is that they needed my transcript, my official high school transcript. Okay, so I went to my guidance counselor, and you know, I requested my transcripts, but they wouldn't give it to me. You know, it's because there was something happening with the school, I guess, so they wouldn't give me my transcript. So, okay, I kept believing. I had faith that I'm going to get the transcript sooner or later, and I'm going to be able to fax it in on time in order for them to proceed with my acceptance process. So, soon enough, my guidance counselor comes to me, and she says, here are your transcripts, and you need to go do what you need to do now. So immediately I went over and I faxed my transcripts over to the school, and last week I got a phone call from Johnson & Wales stating that, you know, they will accept my transcript and proceed with the acceptance process. So, you know, I had faith, and, you know, I was on top of what I wanted to be accomplished, and it got done, and now I'm just waiting on the acceptance for the school. So, thank you.
Thank you, Stephon, for sharing that delightful story. Can I turn it back to Baptiste? Do you have anything? Mr. Baptiste?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hello, yes, Mr. Monroe, I'm here.
Yes. Would you like to read page 71 on faith is a state of mind which may be induced by autosuggestion?
Okay, well, Mr. Monroe, that is actually the section I've read prior to. If you don't mind, I actually like to jump a little, you know, forward a little bit to the self-confidence formula, because, you know, we just covered that. All right,
that's cool.
Okay, so the self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment. And here, I now promise to render such action. Second, I realize that the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know
through the principle of autosuggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily of demanding of myself to the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit it from all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become self-reliant and a very successful person.
Very good. You know, if I'm in comment on the self-confidence formula, you know, I truly believe that this self-confidence formula can actually begin a transformation in a person's life. I have not begun using it, but after, you know, reading it this morning, I definitely plan on implementing it into my daily schedule and into my life because I can see the power in it. It sounds very powerful, and I definitely believe that it can help transform anyone into a better person.
I believe so, too. And like I stated before in my story, it was one of the most important steps of my mother and I acquiring that house. We both read aloud twice a day with full faith, with the most character in the world. And we believed in our hearts that it will come to pass. And it definitely did. Mr. Stefan, would you like something to share? Mr. Mason?
Well, yes, I'm here. You know, just like what you said from your past story that you kindly share with us, just like the situation that I shared with myself, I didn't think that I would, you know, receive or, you know, get my high school transcripts on time because, you know, the school that I wanted to go to, they kept calling me and emailing me requesting for the transcript, but, the school wouldn't grant me the permission to have them. I kept believing. I kept going to the counselor every single day, begging her for the transcripts. And, you know, one day something just happened, and I don't know what happened, but I received my transcripts. I kept believing, you know, I had faith, and it came to pass.
Thank you. And is McNeil on the line? Do you have something to share?
Yes, thank you. I just also like, if you don't mind, if you recall, the whole purpose of having the book published as a part of your story was to be able to qualify to attend the National Speakers Association conference. And we did not have the registration because they were booked and sold out. And when you think about the self-confidence formula, I think that when you repeat any form of affirmation, such as the self-confidence formula, it takes on a life of its own in your life and in the lives of others because oftentimes we don't realize the impact that our life has on others. And I want to encourage all three of you, Michael Baptiste, Stefan Mason, and Malachi Monroe, that by doing this blog talk radio show, on behalf of the International Mastermind Association Youth Group, you are changing the lives of youth yet unborn because one thing about the Internet that we all know that it goes on infinitum. So just continue to just do a very, very good job as you do the very best that you can as you continue to live your dream. And so at 8:40, we will have a commercial break, and I just want to just continue to encourage you to encourage others while encouraging yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McNeil. Do we have any callers that are on the line that would like to share about their story with faith or the results of their vision board? Just dial 1 on your phone, and you can and you will be allowed on the call. Or also, if you are on the computer, you can type up your question, and one of the hosts will read it. Thank you. Mr. Mason? Mr. Baptiste?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm still here on the call.
Oh, hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, this is Stefan Mason. I was on mute.
Okay, Mr. Mason, would you like to continue reading from where Mr. Baptiste was, please? He was on page 75 with the self-confidence formula.
Okay, well, my book is a little different, but I am here. Okay. Where he left off, it says, I will cause... Wait a minute. Okay, yeah. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. Should I continue or want to discuss that?
Yes, continue.
Excuse me?
Continue, please.
Okay. Underpinning this formula is a law of nature that no one has yet been able to explain. It has baffled the scientists of all ages. Psychologists have named this law autosuggestion, and let it go at that. The name by which one calls this law of little importance. The important fact about it is it works for the glory and success of humankind if it is used constructively. If used destructively, on the other hand, it will destroy it just as readily. And this statement may be found a significant truth. Those who go down in defeat and end their lives in poverty, misery, and distress do so because of this negative application of the principle of autosuggestion. The cause may be found in the fact that all impulses of thought have a tendency to clothe themselves in their physical equivalent. The subconscious mind, the chemical laboratory in which all thought impulses are combined and made ready for translation into physical reality, makes no distinction between constructive and destructive thought impulses. It works with the material we feed it through our thought impulses. The subconscious mind will translate into reality and a thought driven by fear just as readily as it will translate into reality a thought driven by courage or faith. The pages of medical history are rich with illustrations of cases of suggestive suicide. A person may commit suicide through negative suggestion just as effectively as by another means. In a Midwestern city, a bank official named Joseph Grant borrowed a large sum of the bank's money without the consent of the directors. He lost the money through gambling. One afternoon, the bank examiner came and began to check the accounts. Grant left the bank and took a room in the local hotel. When they found him 3 days later, he was lying in bed, wailing and moaning, repeating over and over these words, "My God, this will kill me. I cannot stand the disgrace." In a short time, he was dead. The doctors pronounced the case in one mental suicide. Just as electricity will turn the wheels of industry and provide useful service if used constructively, or snuff out life if wrongly used, so will the law of auto-suggestion lead you to peace and prosperity or down into the valley of misery, failure, and death. It all depends on your degree of understanding and application of it. If you fill your mind with fear, doubt, and disbelief in your ability to connect with and use the forces of infinite intelligence, the law of auto-suggestion will take this spirit of unbelief and use it as a pattern which your subconscious mind will translate into its physical equivalent.
This statement is as true as a statement that two and two are four. Like the wind which carries one ship east and another west, the law of auto-suggestion will lift you up or pull you down, according to the way you set your sails of thought. This brings me an example to some of the latest feature on phones where you're typing, and it'll automatically guess where you're typing and put it in, and it uses that based on what you're typing. Back on topic, though. The law of auto-suggestion, through which any person may rise to the altitudes of achievement, which stagger the imagination, is well described in the following verse. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it is almost certain you won't. If you think you lose, you're lost. For out in the world, we find success begins with a fellow will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You got to think high to rise. You got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later, the man who wins is a man who thinks that he can. Observe the words which have been emphasized, and you will catch the deep meaning which the poet had in mind. Somewhere in your makeup, perhaps in the cells of your brain, there lies sleeping the seed of a change, the seed of achievement, which if aroused and put into action, will carry you to heights such as you may never have hoped to attain. Just as a master musician may cause the most beautiful strains of music pour forth from the strings of a violin, so may you arouse the genius which lies asleep in your brain and cause it to drive you upward to whatever goal you may wish to achieve. Abraham Lincoln was a failure at everything he tried until he was well past the ripe age of 40. He was a Mr. Nobody from nowhere, and until a great experience called life came into his life. Arising the sleeping genius within his heart and brain and gave the world one of its really great men, that experience was mixed with the emotions of sorrow and love. It came to him through Anne Rutledge, the only woman who he's ever truly loved. Mr. Baptiste, I'll turn it back over to you.
Great job. You absolutely did a wonderful job. You and Stefan as well. Now, Mr. Monroe and Mr. Mason, I like to ask both of you guys a question. You ask and answer, you know, in either order. And my question is this, you know, why do you think that faith is one of the most powerful of all the positive human emotions?
Can you repeat the question?
I'll repeat my question, and I'm going to direct it at you, Mr. Monroe. Why do you think that faith is one of the most powerful of all positive human emotions?
That is actually a great question, Mr. Baptiste. I think faith would be the most powerful because faith isn't really good or bad. There's a quote that this is one of the quotes that I live by. Nothing is either good or bad. The thinking makes it so. So I believe that how you think and how you live your life determines the type of faith you have. And so faith could be anything to you. Faith, it's all a matter of what's in your heart and how much faith you have. So if you want to be a millionaire, you just have to set your goals and have that strong Christian-like faith.
Okay.
Mr. Baptiste.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Mrs. McNeil, and I'd like to challenge Mr. Monroe on his statement because I think that it might be the reverse. I think that faith may come first, and then your achievement, and then your faith.
Yes, I like to I like to definitely agree with that, because when you have faith in whatever it is that you're doing, you know, you're working towards that achievement. So you haven't actually accomplished that which you set out to as yet. However, in the process of working towards that goal, you know, when it's backed by faith, that strong desire that you have will actually accomplish, become an achievement. I'm sorry. So, Ms. McNeil, I definitely do agree with you.
Yeah, I'd like to take it a step further to just clarify to our listening audience, because faith is good. It is not either good or bad. And Socrates is actually the person that made the quote that said, nothing is either good nor bad, but the thinking that makes it so. But the Word of God says that by faith all things are possible. So I just want to just make very clear the point for Mr. Monroe and all of our listening audience, especially our youth, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and not seen. And so by having the faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God, which is why for those of us who do believe, you want to continue to read the Word. Even though we read Think and Grow Rich, everything that is of success comes from the Word of God through the Bible. So we just want to just clarify that, because we don't want any of our listening audience thinking that faith is neither good nor bad, because it is very good, Mr. Monroe. Thank you.
Thank you for clearing that, Ms. McMahon. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
This
is Sharon Jackson.
Go on a commercial break, Ms. McNeil.
Yes, Danelle McNeil will be giving us our commercial. Thank you.
Ms. McNeil, you're live.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio station of the Youth International Mastermind Association. Join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. as we discuss the best-selling, life-changing book, Think and Grow Rich. Live and direct, we come to you consciously, holding one another accountable in the 10 areas of our lives: health, family, financial, recreation, civic, business, work, spiritual, education, personal. And for the 10th, visit us at www.internationalmasterminders.com. Today's host, Mr. Michael Baptiste, senior business major at Florida Memorial University, and Malachi Monroe, little tech professor, are discussing Chapter 2, Faith. For more information on the International Masterminders Association, its members and values, please visit us at www.internationalmasterminders.com.
Thank you, Ms. Neal, for that wonderful, wonderful break. Mr. Baptiste, we would like to turn it back over to you. Can you continue reading, please?
Yes, sir. What I will do is I will jump ahead a little bit, and I will jump to Mr. Andrew Carnegie and speak a little bit about him and how he started the U.S. Steel Corporation. Now, this is on page 59 in the Think and Grow Rich book, and I'll begin where it says, a pretty after-dinner speech for $1 billion. Now, when on the evening of December 12th, 1900, some 80 of the nation's financial nobility gathered in the banquet hall of University Club on Fifth Avenue to do honor to a young man from out of the West, not half a dozen of the guests realized they were to witness the most significant episode in the American industrialist history. J. Edward Simmons and Charles Stuart Smith, their hearts full of gratitude for the lavish hospitality bestowed on them by Charles M. Schwab during a recent visit to Pittsburgh, had arranged for dinner to introduce the 38-year-old steel man to Eastern Banking Society, but they didn't expect him to stampede the convention. They warned him, in fact, that the buzzers within New York's stuffed shirts would not be responsive to oratory, and that if he didn't want to bore the Stillmans and Harrimans and Vanderbilts, he had better limit himself to 15 to 20 minutes of polite vaporings and let it go at that. Even John Pierpont Morgan, sitting on the right hand of Schwab, as became his imperial dignity, intended to grace the banquet table with his presence only briefly. And so far as the press and public were concerned, the whole affair was of so little moment that no mention of it was found its way into the print the next day. So the two hosts and their distinguished guests ate their way through the usual seven or eight courses. There was little conversation, and what there was of it, it was restrained. Few of the bankers and brokers had met Schwab, whose career had flowered along the banks of Monongahela, and none knew him well. But before the evening was over, they, and with them Money Master Morgan, were to be swept off their feet and a $1 billion baby, the United Steel Corporation, was to be conceived. Now, it is perhaps unfortunate for the sake of history that no record of Charles Schwab's speech at the dinner was ever made. He repeated some parts of it at a later date during a similar meeting in Chicago Bankers, and still later when the government brought suit to dissolve the Steel Trust. He gave his own version from the witness stand of the remarks that stimulated Morgan into a frenzy of financial activity. Now, it's probable, however, that it was a homely speech, somewhat ungrammatical, full of epigram and threaded with wit. But aside from that, it had a galvanic force and effect upon the 5 billion of estimated capital that was represented by the dinners. After it was over and the gathering was still under its spell, although Schwab had talked for 90 minutes, Morgan led an orator to a recessed window there. We're dangling their legs from the high, uncomfortable seat, they talked for more than an hour. Now, this basically speaks about the beginning of the dinner, how he was able to use the dinner to speak to all the bankers there and influence them to actually back him with the finances to begin the U.S. Steel Corporation. Now, I'll fast forward a little bit, just for time's sake, so that we can get a little bit closer to the point. So four men pondered over these figures all night. The chief, of course, was Morgan, steadfast in his belief that the divine right of money. With him was his aristocratic partner, Robert Bacon, a scholar and gentleman. The third was John W. Gates, whom Morgan scorned as a gambler and used as a tool. The fourth was Schwab, who knew more about the process of making and selling steel than any of the whole men in the group living. Throughout that conference, the Pittsburgher's figures were never questioned. But he said a company was worth so much, and it was worth that much and no more. He was insistent, too, upon including in the combination only those concerns he nominated. He had conceived a corporation in which there was no duplication, not even to satisfy the greedy friends who wanted to unload their companies onto the broad Morgan shoulders. Thus, he left out by design a number of large concerns upon the Wallaces and Carpenters of Wall Street had cast hungry eyes. When he came down, Morgan rose and straightened his back. Only one question remained. Do you think he can persuade Andrew Carnegie to sell? He asked. Well, I can try, said Schwab. If you get him to sell, I will undertake the matter, said Morgan. So far, so good. But will Carnegie sell? How much would he demand? Schwab thought about $320 million. Well, what would he take his payment in? Common stock, preferred stock, bonds, cash? Nobody could raise $333 million in cash. And so there was a golf game in January on the frost-cracking heath of St. Andrew's Lake, Links in the Westchester. With Andrew bundled up in sweaters against the cold, Charlie talked volubly, as usual, to keep his spirits up. But no word of business was mentioned until the pair sat down in the cozy warmth of the Carnegie Cottage hard by. Then, with the same persuasiveness that had hypnotized 80 millionaires at the University Club, Schwab poured out the glittering promises of retirement and comfort of untold millions to satisfy the man's social caprices. Carnegie capitulated, wrote a figure on a slip of paper and handed it to Schwab and said, all right, that's what we're sell for. The figure was approximately $400 million and was reached by taking the $320 million mentioned by Schwab as the basic figure and adding to it $80 million to represent the increased capital over the previous 2 years. Later, on a deck of transatlantic liner, the Scotsman said ruefully to Morgan, I wish you asked him for $100 million more. If you would have asked for it, you would have gotten it, Morgan told him cheerfully. And so this is what I like to share with everyone on the call. You know, this basically speaks about how the U.S. Steel Corporation was started, and it began in the form of an idea of one man. And this idea was backed by the mastermind principle and faith. And through it all, we were able to create the United States Steel Corporation. So it's a really great story. I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Monroe. Hello, Mr. Monroe.
I think he dropped off.
Okay, not a problem. So I guess, right at the moment, Mr. Stephon Mason, are you still on the call, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Now, Mr. Mason, would you like to add anything to that? You know, we were speaking on faith, and I was asking you, would you like to add anything, any comments to that?
Before Stefan speaks, I apologize. This is Sharon Jackson. I'd like to make a comment if it's all right.
Yes, please.
Well, the reason why I wanted to piggyback on something that Ms. McNeil indicated probably 5 minutes ago, and I wanted to tell you the importance of this call, the importance of our young international masterminder, male international masterminders, taking the next step of doing something that is unique. I have been working with middle school students for probably the last 2.5-3 years. And one of the things that I had noticed is that young males, young black males, would come into school with bright eyes in anticipation. But when you say that there are positive forces and there are negative forces that impact you, that is one area that it is concentrated. You have the positive forces, and then you have the everyday negative forces, those that appear to be unseen. And you can see the youth changing little by little, becoming average and below. It is every time they raise their hand to answer a question, other students look at them like, well, who do you think you are? Every time they come to school looking and dressing very neat the way their parents would have them to dress, other students looking at them to say, well, what is that and who do you think you are? Them turning their work in on time with excellence, and other students saying, who do you think you are? Them speaking the King's English the way they were originally taught in school, and other students look at them and say, who do you think you are? And some of them change and become average. Others of them, such as you, develop alliances. Alliances with other boys, sometimes other girls, with other boys, whether they be black or whether they be white, and it maintains their above-average attitude. So I challenge you to maintain your relationships, relationships that can change your life for the good or for the bad. And the thing that is very important is to understand those things that may appear to be seemingly innocuous, but they come at you daily and consistently. And if you don't do everything that you're talking about today consistently, you will succumb. So I just wanted to tell you the importance and the significance about what you're doing this day and every Saturday morning for the month of May. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Jackson. That was really delightful. It gave us some great insight. What's happening today with our youth, and actually gave me some motivation to do better for myself. Mr. Stefan Mason, are you on the call, sir?
I'm still here.
Okay, great. Do you have any questions or comments at the moment?
Well, I have a comment to make, and you know, it was just after the passage that you read, just a comment about it, you know, a profound statement where the Scotsman said to Morgan, I wish I had asked you for 100 million more, and the Scotsman, and Morgan responded with, if you had asked for it, you'd have gotten it. That part right there, if you had asked for it, you had gotten it. That's like a profound statement to me. Meaning, like, you can get whatever you want. You know, you can have whatever you want to have. You know, you just have to put forth, you know, the effort, and you have to have an action plan behind it. And that statement right there just was like, nothing is impossible. Ask and you shall receive. You know, it was. You know, I'm still in awe. You know, going over that statement, because it's really profound, and we can use that in our everyday lives. If you had asked for it, you'd have gotten it. you can go by that, like, day to day, I think that, you know, mentality will be changed by that. Thank you, Mr. Baptiste.
I believe we may have a call just jumped on. But Mr. Mason, I'd like to ask you a question. You know, what do you do personally in order to strengthen your faith?
Excuse me?
The question was, Mr. Mason, what do you do personally to strengthen your faith?
Well, what I do to strengthen my faith, for an example, what I would do is I'll set a goal, and if I have to get it accomplished in a certain amount of time, what I'll do is not only will I pray, I'll pray every day until it comes to pass. But other than that, I'll make sure that I have, you know, I have done whatever I've needed to get done in order for that goal to, you know, to be accomplished. You know, just praying and having an action plan behind my goal is the way that I sometimes strengthen my faith.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for sharing. So, for the most part, you use prayer. You definitely set your goals and take a look at your goals quite often to use faith. I was just going over what you're interested in doing. You know, you use prayer, you write down your goals, and take a look at your goals to strengthen your faith. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, great. And I have one more question for you, Mr. Mason. Going well. Do you believe that faith can remove all limitations?
Yeah, I do believe that, because there is nothing that you can't achieve if you put your mind to it. And I'm a firm believer in that statement, because it has happened to me. So if I'm proof, you know, if I have an example of how that actually works, then there is really nothing else that can be said, because you can't set, because like I once said earlier, that there's nothing that you can't do. You know, there's no limit. I mean, unless you set your mind to where, you know, there's a limit, then you can be stopped. But unless you don't have a limit, if you tell your mind that there's no limit, that's how it's going to be. And that's, to answer your question, yes, I do believe that, so.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for sharing. I'd like to also direct the same question to Mr. Monroe. Mr. Monroe, the question is, are you on the call, Mr. Monroe?
Yes, I'm here. I apologize. I dropped off. Some technical difficulties.
Okay, not a problem. I'll repeat the question to you, because I think we have time for one last question. Do you think that faith can remove limitations?
I do believe that faith can remove limitations. Would you like me to elaborate on that?
Yes, sir. Please tell us why.
I believe faith can remove limitations because usually when we have limitations, it's because others have told us about that limitation and we believe them. For example, if others tell you you won't be successful in your business, or nobody wants a business like that, or I don't know where you're going to get success from, if you believe them, you've already set yourself up to be limited. But if you have faith and you believe in yourself, you would say, no, I'm going to be successful. Everybody's going to like my business, and I'm going to be in the Fortune 500 most admired companies of the year. So faith, you need faith to go against all negativity against people. So, yes, I do believe that faith removes limitations.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you very much. We have a few seconds left on the call. Now we actually like to close the call out. And so we'd like to thank all of our guests for jumping on the call today. We definitely appreciate you. And I'd also like to thank, our co-host today, Mr. Stephon Mason, and our host today, Mr. Malachi Monroe. Thank you very much, guys. And now on behalf of the International Masterminds Association, I'd like to say to everyone, have a wonderful Saturday. Enjoy your weekend. Once again, thank you for jumping on the call, and take care.
Bye.
Bye.